Listen to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
On Thursday, November 13th, Soraya Martinez-Ferrada was sworn in as Montreal's new mayor, ushering in a new era for municipal politics. Her party, Ensemble Montréal, now has a narrow majority in city council and a mandate to speed up private housing development, audit cycling infrastructure, and increase funding to address homelessness. One of Ensemble's central promises is to increase public safety and security. They have plans to increase lighting in parks at night. They also intend to add more surveillance cameras to public spaces. They also plan to double the number of what are called mixed squads, or squads of police and social workers working together. This would require an increase in police funding. Dr. Ted Rutland is a professor of human geography at Concordia who focuses on urban politics, planning, and policing in Canada with a social justice lens. Dr. Rutland conducted a study on the efficacy of mixed squads. Here's Rutland.
I did an extensive investigation of mixed squads with the homeless serving coalition, CHAPSIM, and found that having the police patrol with social workers makes the work of actual social workers much more difficult, because we're talking about social workers that are trying to build relationships with unhoused people who have no reason to trust someone who just walks up and says they're there to help you. And that work of building relationships is made much harder when you've got this branch of social workers that say they're there to help but are actually working with the police.
Dr. Rutland's study found the presence of police in a sensitive situation can negate the calming effect of social workers. He also says an increase of mixed squads would lead to over-policing. Ensemble has also promised to increase the number of special constable police in metro stations. Here's Rutland on that.
And they've also promised to increase the number of special constables in the metro's stations, which of course like won't do anything, because you know the problems that occur in metro stations are massively exaggerated, and also can't be addressed by increasing the number of police officers. I mean, you can't have a police officer in every metro car. And even if you did, stuff's still going to happen.
For more local news coverage, tune in to CJLO on Friday mornings at 9 a.m. for the weekly news hour. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
We got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
I think that'll work better this way. Huh?
Yeah, I should probably turn the mics on, right? My name is Maximilian Calinescu.
And I'm Libastico Elagello, and
we are your hosts of
Death at a Mid-Range.
My bad, I was really close to the mic. That's wow. My bad, yo. Hey, happy Monday.
And that's good morning to you.
Good morning to you. The snowstorm will not stop us, as you can see.
Absolutely not.
Here and live, bringing you this NBA news and insight.
I woke up this morning with very much like a picturesque view of the outside, because my window was all fogged up and I had like some of the ice crystals. It's very cute, you know. It was snowing.
We did say it was like in, right? The bus. We're like, it's very, very
the
cute.
The bus
outside.
Player was playing classical music. God. Like
he let me on, even though I only didn't have enough money for the bus.
You paid $2.15.
Yeah, don't let the people know my business now, Max.
Well, I only know because I paid $3.75, and I went right after you. And he just looked at me. He's like, yeah.
All right.
Sorry, brother.
All right, man.
All right, welcome to Death of the Mid-Range. We are very excited to be back, and I believe this is the exact fourth week of the NBA season, right? Because we missed the second week. Last week we were back.
So it is a
month into the NBA season, almost exactly.
Yeah. God, it has flown by.
And it's been incredibly... I want to just say... What an NBA season it has been thus far.
Indubitably. It has been.
I mean, overtime games, big performances. Like, it is kind of been insane.
Just last night, bro, we was literally texting. Like, we had two single OT games and one double OT game. That's insane, bro.
Yeah, and the game, oh my God. Before we get into anything, like, before we get into any of the topics, Kevin Durant is such a fun basketball player.
You know who he
is. You know who I am.
Come on now.
But Kevin Durant is such an incredible basketball player. I mean, just the sheer volume that he's able to produce. Like, watching him hit two clutch threes in a row, and then it was him hitting the dagger.
And also to send it to OT, like, KD's sheer gravity just created that wide open hook shot for Şengün.
Yeah, absolutely. And good comeback. I really thought the Magic were going to win it because of the
without
blunder.
Paolo, too.
Yeah, and they absolutely capitalized off the blunder of KD turning over the ball, Anthony Black getting a dunk. He would have sealed it with the free throw.
And one, two, come on, Anthony, get up.
Well, I would say and one, but he missed the free throw. So it was like, and...
And
anyways, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Beautiful Monday morning. What we want to talk about is we were trying to do this a couple of weeks ago, but now I think we locked it in. We want to do a player of the week's player of the week. We both came to the studio with three players that we want to shout out for players of the week
and shine a bit of light on this past week of
right.
the NBA.
And I think it helps you guys maybe who didn't watch this week's basketball or didn't watch all the games, get a good grip on who were some of the top performers. And, you know,
this is also, I'd say, pretty like individually based, because I didn't, you know, go as who was the like best performers of the week. Mm-hmm. It's just in the games that I watched, who stood out to me, in the things that I read, what really stood out to me.
Yeah, like I went big picture, I went personal picture. And I went someone that really stood out to me. I'm gonna start us off.
I was gonna say enough teasing. Let's get into. Sorry, my bad. Let's get into it, y'all. Let's get into it. You want to give your first pick?
Yeah, and I think this is almost a no brainer. I went with Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I went with Jalen Johnson too.
Oh my good! Almost a quadruple double.
I'll give you some of the performances he had this week. Against the Suns last night, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. 2 days prior, versus the Utah Jazz, 31 points, 18 rebounds, 14 assists, 7 steals.
I mean,
6 turnovers.
But I don't care. And like, then, Russell Westbrook did it. Who cares?
And literally, like, against Sac, 2 days prior, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Right before, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Regardless, he's
been
amazing.
And I want to say, granted, in that 4-day stretch, so that week, they went 4-0. Yep. So that's 4 wins in a row for Atlanta. I think they really needed this spark because Jalen Johnson was out for at the beginning of the season. No, or was he playing? No, he was playing. He just came off the injury. And,
yeah.
But I think they really needed this push from Jalen Johnson. I know the Kristaps Porzingis trade. Kristaps Porzingis is a great player to have on your team. However, he is very injury prone. To see this production out of Jaden McDaniels, I mean, he's going to be an all-star. Jaden McDaniels. Jalen Johnson. It's really needed for the Hawks, who were kind of scared. Yeah. Nikhil Alexander-Walker has also been playing great. But
he stepped in because Trae Young has been injured.
Yes.
And like we talked about before the season started, for the Hawks' success, letting Jalen Johnson have more offensive responsibilities and being able to create the offense for the Hawks is also very important. And I think Quinn Snyder has always realized that. Mm-hmm. And having Trae Young not play is always a easier fit to be like, okay, well, go and do your thing now, Jalen, rather than switching up the offense when Trae Young is in the lineup.
And he's averaging, like, for the week, so we told you all those statistics, but for the week, he's averaging 24, 12, 9, and 2.5 steals.
Yeah.
Granted, 3.3 turnovers, which isn't terrible, but, I mean, it's incredibly impressive, and he totally deserves the shout-out because, I mean, I wasn't expecting to look on my Instagram feed and see that Jalen McDaniels. I keep trying it.
Damn.
Jalen Johnson has almost scored a quadruple double. I mean,
and it's impressive and fitting because last year, the way he was producing with the Hawks was so impressive.
He would have been an all-star if he didn't get injured.
Like, for sure. And oftentimes, especially in a young career, it can take a bit of time after coming back from a big injury. Especially, the Hawks didn't keep the same roster. They made a lot of changes. When he came back, right. There was a lot more talent on the roster. And for him to be able to come back, ramp up, and go right back to where he
was.
That's
what I said. They needed this, right? No, they really needed this to... I think this calms a lot of the worries in Atlanta, and I think we can be a lot more confident of them as the fourth seed that we predicted them as, just as we are confident as the Magic as the third seed.
Which takes us now to the second pick.
Yeah. Your second pick, which, well, we both had Jalen Johnson as our first pick.
I went with somebody from a team that you don't believe is going to make the playoffs. I went with Shaedon Sharpe out of Portland.
I love Portland. I'm sorry.
Since, you know, Chauncey has been out of the picture, and Tiago Splitter has come in.
Why has Chauncey been out of the picture?
I don't know. I think he's taking a little holiday in the federal prison. Since Splitter has taken over, this Portland team has looked really good, and yep. Shaedon Sharpe has been pretty much unleashed. Last week, he had a 36-point game. Last night, he had a 35-point game and a 31-point game. And just watching him play... I know one of those games was against the Pelicans. No hate to the Pelicans, even though they can't defend. But it's smooth. It's smooth, and he's getting to the basket, and he's getting into that in-between game, and he's also playing defense.
Yeah, and that's what I think all of us who watch basketball and who've seen Shaedon Sharpe produce can see that he has the ability to be that all-star caliber player. He has the build. His shooting's starting to get there, 100%. And now we're seeing the efficiency.
And he has that pull-up ability as well,
absolutely.
Off the bounce.
And I also want to say... Jabari Smith Jr., you got baptized holy.
You know, I saw a tweet that was like, you will never see a player inbound the ball faster
after
than somebody
they get dunked on.
I'm saying. And also, Drew Holiday could have laid that up. He's like, nah, I got you. Go ahead, Shake. Bah. But yeah, I'm not gonna spend too much time on it, but it has been nice to see him really produce, especially after the summer that he had. With Chauncey Billups really saying that he's going to have a lot more responsibilities, and him stepping up and being a really nice duo next to
Avia. Him and Denny Avia. I mean, and what makes it so exciting is that Damian Lillard's obviously coming back. I don't see Damian Lillard being like the most insane producer, obviously being older and having an Achilles tear. But dude, if Dame can average 20, like 3-6 and on efficient 3-point shooting, like this team. It looks
it's still not making the playoffs, Maximilian?
No, they look like they look like they can rival OKC. The amount of
rival OKC. I wouldn't go
no
that
like because like next year,
yeah, in 2 years, maybe.
Right? Because like, well, yeah, fair. But I'm just saying, like, the amount of defensive talent, like the reason why OKC won a championship, and part of the reason we're going to get into how much we love OKC later in the show, is just their ability to literally. Not have a single person who is bad at playing defense.
Same.
And it's excusable with Portland when you have Damian Lillard because he is Damian Lillard. He is going to make up for it on the offensive end 20-fold. Regardless, let's move on to the next player.
Who was your second pick? I know that breath. I know.
No. It's a... I think it's really hard to ignore possibly the 12th best basketball player alive, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. Gots to.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, just before we started the show, you asked me what the point differential was for the Thunder. 17.3. You know who's second? The Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
Plus 13.
Plus 13 is insane. I want to give a quick... we try not to go super deep on advanced statistics on the show because we are confused by them too. But also that it's hard for people who are not calling you guys casuals. I'm just saying that people who don't intake as much basketball knowledge as we do, it's a little difficult to understand some of these things. I want to talk about a metric called either just box plus minus or plus minus. Essentially, it's a statistic that shows how much you impact the game in terms of winning. When you're on the floor. The person who is highest in the league in box plus minus is Nikola Jokic. Far and far and far beyond. And what makes it more hilarious is I believe the second person is Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah.
But that statistic, I want you to know that, like, Jaime Jaquez is something like historic, like at 13 box plus minus. Nikola Jokic being at 20.8 right now is insane. For anybody wanting to know, I think historically, most of Michael Jordan's MVP seasons saw him sitting at around 16 points for the box plus minus, which, like, really it just takes all your statistics, takes your on-court time, takes your shooting percentages and how you impact the game in, I think, 100 possessions and just amplifies that.
He has been dominating that statistic.
So, years. Yeah. I think he has five of the highest box plus minus. Because he's so efficient. And that all I'm trying to say with this advanced statistic is he is so efficient as a basketball player. As of Saturday, I believe he's shooting 68% from the field and 41% from three, while averaging the highest triple-double he's averaged as an NBA basketball player. Every year we say this. He is far and far and far, far beyond playing better than he was last year.
Yeah.
Like, every year this guy just gets better.
Have we just become numb?
Yes.
Have we just become numb to statistics?
I watched a video the other day, and it's Nikola Jokic has solved the basketball problem. Like, he understands every single thing on the court, and he would rather be horse racing.
That's true.
Like, it is a little mind-boggling. I guess I can pull up the statistics for Nikola Jokic. And he is averaging currently, as of this week, it's really light, 39 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, almost a block, on 3 three-pointers made a game. And 74% from the field.
Some light, you know.
I mean, like, I will stop glazing Nikola Jokic.
Only because we have to go to an ad break. Literally only because we have to go to an ad break.
Oh my God, he is so good at basketball. Anyways, we'll go to ad break. I'm sorry, I talked about Nikola Jokic for way too long, but I will get back with the other two players that we have. And yes, enjoy.
Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. We're on CJLO 1690 this morning. Enjoy this ad break.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Blue. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Welcome, salutations and various forms of greetings, friends. My name is Mr. Billets. And when I'm not enjoying good ragtime music and tap dancing, I like to listen to Great Explosives on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM. Now here's some kind of a cover of Frank Sinatra by a metal band. Take that, Hitler!
Welcome back. Hope you didn't go anywhere like I asked you to, please. And if you're still with us, you're on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. I've always dreamed of saying it. Max finally let me do the comeback little speech. So
I said it with a really stern look on my face.
So do it. But yeah, no, we got our two last players of the week for you. And then we're going to get into some Mavericks info.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Nothing special happened with the Mavericks.
What are you talking about?
But yeah, but let's close it out. My last pick is, you know, a little player. I don't know if you guys know him. You know, a little rookie. Just got in the league. Stephen Curry, who put up 95 points in two meetings against the Spurs last week and beat them.
God damn.
Beat them twice by, I think it was 1 point every time. No, it was 5 points, and then they beat him by 1 point. Jimmy Butler is still undefeated against Wemby. I just want everybody to know that.
That's a hilarious statistic.
Curry is... They were literally talking about it on my Twitter timeline about how, yeah, Draymond Green was subtly calling out Curry for just shooting them out of games. But then Curry is Curry. He will have one game every 100 games where he looks like he's shooting you out of a game and then just drop 40 points back to back. And it's like, it's impressive. It's so impressive.
Like, he did that last night where he dropped 43, 46, and then last night he had 9 points and Moses Moody had 8 threes.
32.
Yeah,
32.
Yeah, 8 threes, 32 points.
And they beat the Pelicans.
The Pelicans. I shout out Derek Queen.
We started, but then that was his worst game by far.
But what I will say, I would, if I'm Derek Queen, I do not want to go against Draymond Green. Like, good Lord.
Good Lord.
But what I do want to say is that Stephen Curry is now tied with Michael Jordan for the most 40-point games after turning 30 years old.
Seen that.
Which is insane, but somehow not surprising. Also, shout out Russell Westbrook. He's not my player of the week, but I just
never
want
chased.
To shout him out.
Never chased.
25,000 points and 10,000 assists.
We love Russ on this show.
Big fan of Russ on this show. But do you have anything else to say with Steph Curry? He's Steph Curry.
Y'all know who he is. He's Steph Curry. Shout out to you, Steph.
And finally, my other player of the week, last player of the week, rather, Scotty Barnes. I mean, like,
Scotty Barnes!
I mean, we went 3-1. We, as in, like, I'm a part of the Raptors organization.
Yeah, I seen you at the end of the bench. Kelly Olynyk, right?
Yeah, that's me. I got hit by the water bottle, actually. I just want to shout out Scotty Barnes. I saw a tweet, and it's like Scotty discovering that he's stronger and faster than everyone has been revolutionary towards his game. He's averaging this week 19 points, almost 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2.3 blocks, only on 2 turnovers, and 55% shooting from the field.
All defensive team case?
100%. Yeah, someone said that the only reason that Scotty Barnes will not get a DPOY is because of Wembanyama. I say that's reaching. But, you know...
who is even Wembanyama?
Who's Victor Wembanyama? I've never heard of him. I've only ever heard of Scotty Barnes. But anyways, I think that's fun. We get to talk about stuff that happened this week. You guys get to be informed. I really liked watching the Nets Wizards game.
All right, what did I say in the bus, Max? What the heck did I say? I don't want to talk about it. The only thing I will say, this is where I draw the line. I'm glad Keyshawn George said they had a player only meeting. Being down 20 and losing by 23 to the Nets is where I draw the line. I love my Wizards, and it's not because I'm mad right now that I stopped caring. You know, it's like the meme where like I'm turned around, I'm crying, but I'm still holding the umbrella over the Wizards. It'll be okay. We're 1-12. It's okay.
That was the funniest text that I ever received. I stopped watching the game because I called you because I was watching the game. And it did really start off as quite a good battle. You said, why are you watching this game? And I said, well, it's 6 o'clock and there's a basketball game on. So I was watching the game.
For the sickos.
I stopped watching after the third quarter and then promptly received a text with like 2 minutes left in the game that said, this is where I draw the line, losing by 20 points to the Nets.
At home. Listen, I'm...
With the gold jerseys.
No, truthfully, I wholeheartedly do not want to get into it.
We will not get into it.
I had a really bad night. I did not sleep well. Thankfully, this show exists or else I would be depressed. Let's get into another franchise that's struggling. Let me hate on them a little bit. Dallas.
What's really funny is that the Nico Harrison story broke, I want to say, almost exactly like 14 hours after. It's like 24 hours after we did the show. Right?
I think it's
on Monday, last Monday. That's what I'm referencing.
It's probably the most expected news. But it's also a breath of fresh air. Dirk Nowitzki talked about it on Prime, where it's like everything happened, right? The trade happened, the injury to Anthony Davis happened. They're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. Everything happened. You got the first pick. Now he's gone. You have to move on. You just have to move on.
Yeah.
And you have to accept your situation as it is now. You have to retool around Cooper Flagg and just accept that Luka's not coming back. If I see another tweet from a Mavericks fan, be like, Nico's gone now. You can come back, Luka. The joke's over. You can come back now. Listen, it's not going to happen.
LA wins again. But
and it's like, well, whatever. But at least he's gone now. It's been an embarrassment to the franchise, and you just got to accept your situation and make the best of it.
100%. And I also think that not only did Nico Harris deserve to get fired, but I'm really glad that the ownership kind of is slowly starting to acknowledge that they made a critical error. Like, it's kind of interesting to see these storylines come out about one of the courtside like season ticket holders. Yeah. His son flipped off the new owner.
Yes,
you know. His dad told him, no, you have to go apologize. They asked for an apology, and we watched someone who's probably 17 having a long discussion with an NBA owner wearing the player that you just traded
in his new jersey.
And I think that goes to show that fans make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fans can be the turning point for a lot of NBA franchises, because obviously they need your money as a business to run and operate.
Baseline, yeah.
And I think we see this a lot with new owners that come in or new GMs that come in. They want to make an impact, so they want to move stuff around. Not to defend Nico Harrison, but on paper, like, the Dallas Mavericks should have been like a third seed last season if they were healthy. I mean, even without the playmaking, Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis is a disgusting combination, especially with all the size that you have. But they sucked.
Yeah, but
they blew a tire. Karma caught up with them, and yeah, it obviously wasn't going to work in the long run.
But even in the short run, what I don't understand is how can you be surprised by any of this?
No, you're
not. How can you be surprised?
You're not.
Anthony Davis has never been a reliable player to stay on the floor past injuries, right?
And he's gained like 20 pounds since being in Dallas, right?
And bringing in Cooper Flagg and thinking that he's going to be this steady big forward who can do it all and produce then, at the point guard position.
Yeah, and then playing him at the point guard. Nothing makes sense.
Right now, they're 4-10. They're 13th in the Western Conference. They're getting outscored by 21 points in all the possessions that Cooper Flagg has played point guard. 21 points.
That's insane.
You know how insane
that
is?
That's insane.
Anthony Davis has only played 5 games, and he's been super bad when he played. He's averaging 21, 10, and 2.3 blocks.
Which sounds like...
No, which are good counting stats, but they're getting outscored by 7 points when he's on the floor this season.
Yeah, because he's slow, and also, I don't blame Anthony Davis. He wanted to be a power forward on a contending team, and he made that as clear as humanly possible to the Lakers organization.
He do not want to play the 5.
He then got told to suck it up, Buttercup, played through injuries, got injured because he was playing the 5, went to Dallas, almost lost his left eye, right? And then also, it came out that Anthony Davis was suffering with a calf strain, an Achilles injury, and Nico Harrison pushed him to play the season opening. He pushed him. And I think this is probably a lot of the reason why he got fired is, obviously, we can talk about the entire debacle with the Luka Doncic situation. But time and time again, we've seen him mismanage injured players. Half of the reason why Luka was out of shape in Dallas is because they kept trying to force him to play while he was injured, meaning that he didn't have time to recover, work out, lose weight. Like, maybe, part of the blame there falls on Luka too, but some of the mismanagement in the people that Nico Harrison surrounded himself with, health advisors, some of the chief of staff, like, they fired all these tenured, like 20-year tenured people to put in yes men, and the yes men almost destroyed Derek Lively's career. Derek Lively had microfractures in his foot, with stress fractures.
Yeah.
And they tried to make him play within like 3 days, and he needed a month off, right?
But it's not that, like...
But then again, like, what I'm saying is that, like, once you get desperate, you're the guy that you need Anthony Davis to start producing and need to start producing well. Anthony Davis says, hey guys, I have an Achilles injury, I can't play. And Nico Harrison goes, I don't care. You need to go on the court right now. You need to play. It's my reputation on the line. And then Anthony Davis goes out with a calf injury, right? I think he went out with a calf injury after.
No, it was the calf injury, and the doctor said if he was to play again, then he could potentially get an Achilles injury.
Right.
And Nico Harrison wanted him to rush.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
But it's like, it's honestly, to play devil's advocate, the Dallas's situation, even as of now, isn't that bad. And that's coming from Wizards fan.
I was going to say, at least they're not the Pelicans.
No, but I mean, like, sure, okay. But at least Nico Harrison is gone now.
Yeah.
You still have Cooper Flagg on the dang roster. And if you take away...
And Anthony Davis for all he has and Kyrie Irving.
Honestly, they have to retool now. They should trade Anthony Davis with what value he has left. They should trade Kyrie Irving. Don't cling on to the hope that you can make a playoff push with this roster. Because the flashes from Cooper Flagg has been really special. And if you can retool around him, right? And
absolutely.
Because I think from what we've seen from Cooper Flagg
this season...
Which is
really frustrating, but absolutely. I understand.
I think he might thrive the best next to a dynamic scorer. Because
mm-hmm.
even in the clutch yesterday, they're trying to make him this kind of like go-to guy, you know, who's like, give him the ball and get out of his way. But I don't think that's really who he is. As a scorer, I've been kind of confused about Cooper, of where he can really operate. It's really clear when he gets in the open floor, he's a great decision maker,
yes,
great athlete. That's not a problem. But in the half court, it's kind of confusing because...
Well, it's
because
he needs a point guard.
Like, yeah, and he's good at handling in the pick and roll, but his mid-range is very stiff, so he kind of like the drop coverage has worked really well against him.
Right.
And he hasn't been willing to pull up from three. So, but that's also, he's a rookie, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm analyzing him as like a...
But that's
three,
the expectation. Yeah. He's the first pick, and also he is kind of the whole reason why Dallas even has won four games, like, if I'm being honest. And also
Najee Marshall, PJ Washington, these steady guys that never get, you know, injured and never get caught up in anything.
Love Najee Marshall.
Yeah,
big Najee Marshall fan. PJ Washington, pay your baby mamas. Holy,
but still really impressive.
But still
player.
Very impressive player.
And Gaff too, since he come back.
I love Gafford. I do think though, retool. Either you trade Daniel Gafford and you just live with putting, if this is going to be the 13th seed,
bottom out,
let Anthony Davis have a season to recover. I mean, it was what, two seasons ago where we saw him play almost every game. Like, he has the ability to do so when your management does not push him to keep playing while injured. Right now, he has no reason to play. Bench him for a month and a half. You have Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. Granted, I think Derek Lively injured right now?
No, he came back. He literally came back last night, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have two bigs right now. Like, you'll be fine. You know?
But even,
this is coming from a Raptors fan. We have one big. We've had one big for like a million years. So,
but even at that, I think, even when I said like you could blow it up, but also you could, just like you said, bottom out. Wait for Kyrie to come back.
And trade Gafford and get money off that, or, because people want Gafford.
Yeah, or you let Cooper Flagg have the season.
Yeah.
And then next season, if you really want to, give the unction one last try with the young new second season player.
I think if you're the new general manager, you have to say, okay, let's rest Anthony Davis. Kyrie Irving's we're gonna see what his productivity can be like when he's actually fully healthy, and maybe he'll play like 10 games at the end of the
season.
God,
they need a point guard.
Right?
But God, they need a... If I'm the
team, I want to see Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and Cooper Flagg play together.
That's true.
Like, that and I think that, listen, rest Anthony Davis. Nico Harrison was desperate for his job, therefore pushed the lineup. I know it sucks. But guys, the owners, you guys are bajillionaire, casino royalty, MAGA hat wearing, like, you know what, like, you guys have the money.
Damn,
you guys
right.
have
the no, time.
absolutely not. Not on CJLO. No. Guys, for all intents and purposes, Libas, with that joke,
sorry,
there,
was
being satirical.
Yeah. they won't let me speak. No, I'm blind.
But all I'm saying is that, like, there's time, there's money, you're a new owner, you're able to have the patience, and it'll pay off. So, wait till next season.
Bottom line, let Coop cook.
Let Coop cook, wait till next season, we'll be fine. I don't want to talk
about... Get rid of D'Lo.
Yes, absolutely. Get rid of D'Lo.
All right, so we move on to, well...
Lakers.
Laker Nation,
man.
I bet y'all are laughing, having a good time.
Yes, and if you're Rob Pelinka, you are sipping champagne on a yacht because holy
moly.
Yeah, you did a great job. We're really all proud of you and angry at you because of how amazing of a job you did in this situation. Yeah. Luka Doncic looks, what is he averaging? He's averaging 40.
As of when I did my research, when I worked on the show, as of last Thursday, he was averaging 37 points, which was first in the NBA, 9.5 rebounds, 9 assists. And you know what my first bullet point is?
Yes, go on.
My first bullet point is two-headed white chocolate monsters. Because Austin Reeves, as of like middle of last week, was averaging 35 rebounds and 9 assists. 9 assists is
35, 9, and 9?
30 points, 5 and 9. And 30 points is 6th in the NBA, and then Doncic is first in scoring. And then 9 assists is 7th in the NBA, and Doncic is 8th in the NBA at like 9 assists as well. And it's just,
you
it's
have
been.
No Billy Kobe and whatever's.
It's been surprising.
Would it be crazy to call Luka Doncic the White Mamba? Because he probably fits it a lot better than Austin Reeves does.
Yeah. It's just been honestly, I've been kind of caught off guard. I didn't expect this Lakers team to come right off the bat and be this good.
Yeah, and I actually think a lot of the tribute can go to Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
I just
Unk still got it.
Unk still got it. But also what he brings is he is the Unk at the YMCA who will not let you lose and will complain at every call, and you are so pissed when you have to play against him, but you win.
And he's a great mentor as well.
Yes. And I think he's exactly what this the identity of this Lakers team needed, right? Is they were crying for someone to just do the dirty work.
The enforcer, yeah.
Right? And you need one on your team. It was really funny to watch Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart is half of the reason why there is a flopping rule in the NBA. And like I said, he is your favorite teammate if he's on your team. He is the most diabolical human being when he's playing against you.
Yeah.
I also want to shout out DeAndre Ayton.
But just before you move on, do you want a stat that's going to back up everything you just said?
Please.
They are outscoring opponents by 11.6 points when Marcus Smart is on the floor.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And also when you have Arabia probably on the floor too there, you have two great defenders.
12, 5, and 3. And he's shooting 38% from the 3, Arabia.
Yeah, and he's exactly kind of what you needed too.
The third white guy.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Exactly like the Lakers need. So Rui's shooting really efficiently in the corners. And it's insane.
He's shooting 62% on two-pointers and 52% on three-pointers. It's not sustainable,
but that's
course,
the Luka Doncic effect.
But Hachimura is like, he's a known efficient player, so it shouldn't drop by this much, but it's insanity, bro.
I mean, I really have to shout out the Black Samurai there because he has been playing out of his mind. And also...
Who drafted him?
Washington Wizards. I mean, shout out.
Who drafted Denny Avdia?
Washington Wizards.
Come on, bro. We can't keep him on the roster, but at least we draft him well. Hey, listen now.
He'll go down as Jerry Krause, you know, like, yeah. At least I drafted him.
Hey, give me my credit. Ayton has been really good,
too. Yeah, and that's all, like, you know what, just buying in. Like, he doesn't have to do anything beyond, but it's really refreshing to see DeAndre Ayton getting upset about things and not in a way that he looks like he's sluggish and wants to go away, like genuinely being hyped up, energetic, looking like dominating, like something that we've expected him to be as the number one pick in 2018?
Yeah, I think that's right on the
dot. In the Luka Doncic draft, right? So it's just really exciting to see that. Not that I'm like a crazy LA Lakers fan, but whenever they're on, it's kind of hard not to watch them.
Yeah.
And just really exciting.
But that credit also, I think, as you said, it's really nice to see dominate and really caring. And a lot of that credit goes to his teammates.
Yeah, and I think Marcus Smart probably helps that too.
Marcus Smart and Austin Reeves, they really held him accountable. And J.J. Redick, the psycho that he is, has held him accountable.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's averaging 16-8. He's shooting 62% in the mid-range, 72% at the rim. It's been really, really solid. He's had a couple 20-10 games. There's a big emphasis on his play because they're so thin at that center position that he's under a big magnifying glass. If I can say.
Yes.
And he needs to play well. And I think he's realized that when he rolls off really hard on those Doncic screens, he gonna find you. Same thing for Austin Reeves. I mean, the two-headed white monsters are averaging 18 assists between them.
Yeah, it's insane. And also,
lot to go around.
Austin Reeves has proved time and time again that he's a great pick and roll lob player.
Yeah.
Like, he can really dime up people throwing a lob. I also want to say that it's really hilarious. JJ Redick is a really smart coach because every time that Ayton comes out of the game, Jackson Hayes comes in and they run a lob play for Jackson Hayes. And every single time he smashes that thing in. And it's exactly what you want. Like, what's really smart with the Lakers there, I didn't think that DeAndre Ayton was a great pickup because they needed a center. And it turns out he's been great.
Really great.
Right? But that's what you saw in Dallas with people like Daniel Gafford and people like Derek Lively. Like, well, Derek Lively they drafted. But what I'm saying is that, like, just people like Derek Jones Jr., just people that you can... With Luka Doncic on the floor, he can throw the ball anywhere and people touch the clouds and then smash it back in.
It's also a different, I think it was a different fit because at the beginning, Luka's always been surrounded by a lot of vertical threats. Like, like you know, like you say, Gafford, Hayes, Lively. And Ayton has a different game. And he talked about it in press conference. Doncic's like, I have to do a better job of finding him in better spots because he's not really an above the rim guy, Ayton.
No.
He needs to get it on the floor and
he's a finesse player.
Yeah, exactly. And then once they figure that out, which makes sense, you need time to figure those things out. It's been really, really.
Because he's a big body, but he's not like, I wouldn't call him peak athletic.
Well, he's not a lob threat.
Yeah.
Ayton is not a lob threat at
all. Which is funny because half of his three career highlights and lowlights have been off of lobs.
Yeah.
Like the Giannis lob. Yeah. Winning the game in against the Clippers off a lob. Yeah. But
I do have a couple negatives, though, that I would like to introduce.
Let's introduce them.
Their defense hasn't been that good.
Yeah,
they're allowing...
And the sky is blue, and, you know,
they're allowing
it's winter outside.
They're allowing 117 points per game. So right now it's really like, kind of like, well, I'm going to just mention the Kings. Don't trip out. Kind of like
the
Kings in their light the beam year where they were scoring so much that it didn't matter what their defense looked like because they would still win games. But yeah, they're allowing a lot of points, and also their defense at the rim, as predicted, has been horrendous. When Ayton's on the floor, opponents are shooting 70% of the rim, and then with Hayes on the floor, it bulks up to 75%. So the interior defense has not been good. And those are the things you need to fix because I'm treating them as a contender, right?
Yeah.
If this is the year where they wouldn't contend, these are the kind of the things that might be a problem down the line.
And I want to say quickly, that's exactly why just bridging into, we're going to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder after this and probably after the ad break. So we'll give this next 3 minutes to the Lakers. It's just that this is a big reason why they got absolutely plummeled by OKC on, what was it, Friday, Saturday?
I don't know. It was
sometime. No, it was Thursday because I was going to bed.
And I was like, they have 38 first half points.
Yeah, the Lakers had 38 first half points. They got absolutely dismantled. And I mean, obviously OKC is insane, but also the Lakers have no defense. And we knew this. Like, and the thing that I said, and I'll continue to say with this team, is that you have a lot of great pieces that do not fit together comfortably. Mm-hmm. And the glue that is holding that together is Luka Doncic. What I didn't expect is the other glue that is holding that together is Hillbilly Kobe.
Because he's the most available out of the three.
Yes.
Because don't forget, that's also in not my negative, but my uncertainty is like, I said, I wrote annoying things that you will have to deal with eventually. LeBron has to come back.
Yeah.
And then where does LeBron fit? Because there's a duo forming right now.
Yeah,
I don't even know where LeBron can even operate right now.
Well, have him come off the bench.
Yep.
Can you imagine?
Austin Reeves was like
$50 million a year. You're coming off the bench.
Austin Reeves was like, "How about Bronny starting in the NBA and LeBron being assigned to the G League? How about that?
How about that? Bronny scoring no points, one rebound in 9 minutes of play.
But I think that's also another point that I wanted to bring up was the uncertainty of reliability with some of these role players. I understand that Smart and Laravia right now are super playable and being really good, but I don't know if I can trust Smart in playoff series right now with the way he's shooting the ball.
100%.
Laravia is a really good player, but unproven in bigger minutes and bigger responsibilities. So I'm impressed by their record. I think they're like 10-4 or something like that.
Yeah.
Will it continue?
Inverse of the Mavericks, funny enough.
Yeah, I hope so. But there's definitely... There's definitely some problems.
Well, I just quickly before we go to at break here is Luka Doncic is the ultimate floor raiser.
Yeah.
He can make your team of bums look like pros. Mm. I mean, we've seen it in the playoffs time and time again. There's no reason why Reggie Bullock should be scoring 8 points or 8 points. Eight threes in a conference finals game.
Shout out Reggie, by the way.
Shout out Reggie Bullock. I love your hair. He's the ultimate floor raiser, right? Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't expecting Austin Reeves to also be an ultimate floor raiser, but he has been. But that just goes to show the instability, like an unsustainable kind of idea that we're here with. I think that we could easily watch Austin Reeves hit a midseason slump. I don't want it to happen, but it's probably a possibility. Like, this team gets a lot more injured. Austin Reeves has too much of a workload. Not to predict like a negative future there, but yeah. Just saying that like, this is unsustainable, and it's a miracle that it's happening right now. And once LeBron comes back, I think it'll...
Very excited to see how it's all going to work.
Yeah, and I think it will work really well. It just means that they probably have to start someone like Vando at the four.
Well, that spacing would be horrendous.
But the thing is who else is going to play defense there? Like,
yeah, but you need space. And like, Hachimura plays okay defense.
Yeah, but like, he's a terrible... on-ball defender, it's either he's a terrible on-ball defender and a great help defender, or the worst help defender and a great on-ball defender.
He's not a good help defender at all.
So then it's the on-ball. He's okay.
But Vando's playing, shooting 20% from three.
Yeah, but he's Jared Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just, but anyways, I'll just say that Lakers have no defense, but their offense really good, and Luka Doncic is really good at basketball. Like, honestly, yeah. We probably could have just said that, but still. Anyways, we're going to go to ad break. Tune back in, please. We love you a lot. You guys are really cool and awesome. And I bet you look really good today, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah, you all listening. All right, ad.
Bye.
From November 20th to 30th, experience RIDM, the Montreal International Documentary Festival. Bold films that redefine documentary cinema and reframe how we see the world. Featuring screenings, concerts, discussions with filmmakers, and celebrations that carry the experience into the night. RIDM, November 20th to 30th in Montreal. Info and tickets at ridm.ca.
It's a miserable Friday night. I'm so lonely, and nobody will give me a ride to the Grateful Dead concert.
Don't fret. There's always Brave New Jams, your source for the best in improvisational rock and roll. That's Brave New Jams, Saturday, 10 p.m. till midnight on CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com.
Welcome back to Death of the Midrange on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Boop, boop.
Like the speed.
The speed. Speaking of speed, let's just make this quick. For the next 2 minutes, we want to shout out the Detroit Pistons and the Toronto Raptors.
Number one in the East, the Pistons.
The Pistons.
Not the Raptors.
You don't get
Hold on to your seat. No. Pistons have been impressive. Cade Cunningham, MVP season. They've won back-to-back games without Jalen Duren and Cade and their top guys. Paul Reed has dropped a 28-13 game. Daryl Jenkins has come out of nowhere and produced incredible play. I think it's really nice to have the Pistons at the top of the conference. Everybody loves the Pistons. And like Kate Cunningham said, we're not 2-28 bad.
Yeah. And what I want to say is that Jalen Duren has been incredibly efficient and kind of not coming out of nowhere, but I was not expecting to see the statistics from Jalen Duren. As far as the season's gone, he's averaged 19.5 points, 12 rebounds, 1.5 assists, which is not surprising. A steal a game and almost a block and a half a game on 2.5 turnovers.
He's what I think was surprising is how he's putting the ball on the floor. And JB Bickerstaff said that he's empowering him to do so. And in the games that I've watched from the Pistons, he's catching it in the mid range and just going. He's attacking centers,
yep.
And he's been able to put on the floor and gets to the rim.
He is so athletic, and he's
wide, too.
He's really fun to watch. Like, yeah. I really like Jalen Duren as a basketball player. Quick shout-out, yeah, Detroit basketball.
We'll try to get more into it in the coming weeks.
Yes. And we went a little off on the Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks, but I hope you guys enjoyed that segment. Anyways, Toronto Raptors basketball. I just want to be quick. CMB, Carl Murray Broyles, has been freaking
my dog.
Awesome. Shout out Mamu, too. Mamu Shekevili, I think is how you pronounce it. He has been playing incredible basketball, too.
Jamal Shedd.
If I want a jersey in my life, it is a Jamal Shedd jersey.
I know what to get you for Christmas now.
As a man, Jamal Shedd is an amazing person. Probably my icon and my hero in life. Jamal Shedd's been incredibly productive. I also want to shout out Emmanuel Quickly for being...
sticking with it.
Yeah, and he's come back, and his minutes with Jakob Poeltl have been incredible. Jakob dropped two games with either nearly or 20 points and 12 rebounds. Just been playing like a beast. It's been really exciting to watch Toronto basketball. I think we went 3-1, like I said earlier in the segment. Scotty's been really impressive. Brandon Ingram had a couple quiet games, but it's impossible to say how amazing he is in the mid-range. Every time he catches it in the mid-range, he does a little step back, and it just is money.
Can't guard him.
Can't guard him. And it's really been impressive. And that's all I want to say about Toronto Raptors basketball. Really excited for the season as it's progressed. Please, please, management, can we just get a backup big? That's all I say.
Yeah.
Shout out RJ Barrett. Had a bit of a slump from three in the game against the Indiana Pacers. We absolutely dominated, which is to say surprising.
It hurts to see Pascal though like that, you know.
Yeah, well, Pascal got absolutely like that. A ridiculous, stupid. It was like a dumb poster because it was. Scotty Barnes, like, infamously, if there's a fast break and he's already at the hoop, he will just kind of stand there for a minute and then just do, like, a little dunk. Yeah. But he did that, and Pascal tried to kind of get into contest and ended up just getting dunked on, and you just saw Scotty crack a smile and laugh because it was ridiculous. But enough Toronto Raptors.
Let's get into the big dog, big dog of the NBA, the big brother of the NBA. It's over with, y'all. I ain't gonna lie.
OKC is here.
Yeah, I mean, it's over with. What are they like? They're 11-2, 11-1.
Yeah, and I think I came in this season saying that I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they're gonna break the win record, but I think they're gonna.
I called you crazy, bro.
But I think they're gonna win 70 games.
I called you crazy. Now I'm the crazy one for not believing in you.
Yeah, because I think it is so apparent how good this team is, and I just want to say,
how are they even better?
Jalen Williams isn't playing basketball right now.
He hasn't played a minute.
He hasn't played a single minute.
AJ Mitchell was not even. Like, he was barely
playing. An afterthought.
He was even playing in the rotation last year, and now he's, like, averaging 18 points, something like that. And it's depressing.
And there's so much. And what were we saying? The Los Angeles Clippers currently sit at the 13th seed in the West.
Guess who had their pick?
Oklahoma City Thunder.
I also have a little stat for you. If you thought SGA was having a down year, please watch basketball. And second, as of November 15th, can you guess who is number one in most total points in the NBA?
Jamal Shedd.
SGA, at 456 points, is number one. Number three is Tyrese Maxey. He's third at 384 total points.
Wow, you know good for Tyrese Maxey.
You know who's second on that list? SGA without fourth quarters at 404 points. At 404 points. He has only, if I can do the math... I'm not a, you know, mathematic major, but he's only scored 52 points in fourth quarters and OT alone. If you understand what that means that the Thunder are so dominant and they're blowing out teams so bad, SGA don't even got to put on a jersey in the fourth quarter.
No, he has not, actually, at all. And it's been incredibly impressive. Like we're saying, watch basketball. And if you decide to watch basketball, watch the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Even if you're a coach, because sometimes I'd be watching these possessions. I'm like, man, if I had a team, I'd want them to play defense this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's insanity how they just run teams out of the gym.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, Nico.
Defense wins championships.
He's in Hawaii right now. He can't even hear you right now. He's so happy, bro. He got his money. He got out. He can't hear Fire Nico anymore. But it's just, it's a lot of people were asking if the Thunder can go back to back and are they too young to be a dynasty. It's even scary how young they are and how good they are.
And that they have actually potential to be in the lottery again this year in one of the most,
they gonna do?
One of the most stacked draft classes in recent history.
Sam Presti, please, please.
Can you stop being unfair?
No, just, can we get it if you, listen, we need help.
Give it to the Wizards.
We need help.
What was that? What was that in the, I think it was in the 70s or the 80s. A team traded a player and cash for 2 days of advice from the leading general manager. Right? Of another team. Right now, the Washington Wizards needs to trade like Cam Whitmore and advice.
Yeah, just Cam Whitmore can go.
And like 2 days of Sam Presti, like just being in the, like not even saying anything, just being in the Washington Wizards office.
I also saw a tweet that said the OKC Thunder could probably get one of their fans from the stands and you would give him a clean 10-5 in like 20 minutes. It's insane how they're able to plug and play any of these 17 players. I'm talking even two-way guys. Just come in.
Well, it's
start,
it's,
not start, play 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and they're all, they all like contribute. And it's insane to me how this team is connected, and you can see their chemistry off the court reflect on the defensive end of the ball.
That's what I was saying. It's like, this is a friendship ball. And also, it's really, really, really fun to watch. But also, like, you know what? Screw Heat culture.
Yeah.
You have OKC culture. You have Thunder culture, because these guys look so happy to play with each other, right? And Josh Giddey even talked about this.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And Josh Giddey also, like, professional, has a lot of respect for Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're watching how, you know, tight people are off the court, right? Yeah. Like how the dinners, the friendships, and that's part of the reason why the Bulls have been successful, mm-hmm. is that, like I said, 2 days of Sam Presti, bro. Like, OKC, or Josh Giddey comes from OKC, goes to the Bulls, friendship basketball, and you start winning. Like, you need to be happy and play basketball. Mm. What does Kenny say? Enjoy
basketball.
Enjoy basketball. Like,
joy comes from basketball.
That's the whole reason. Like that's the whole point. Anyways, just, I think it's been really impressive what OKC has been able to do, and I'm gonna say I'm not surprised.
I'm betting my whole fortune, which is it's not a lot.
It's like $20.
Yeah, I got like maybe 25 in a bank account, but I'm gonna bet it all on the Thunder winning that championship this year. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think you would be in the right. I think Vegas would give you money if you wanted to. Like it's just an automatic
gambling.
Win.
No gambling. I'm not trying to end up like.
No, absolutely no. We're not. We'll never promote gambling.
Talking about gambling, the Miami Heat have had one of the best offenses in the league, which is really funny because they've been known to have a really like stagnant offense and grind it out. Heat culture.
Yeah.
We will beat you by defending and not scoring. And now they score 140 pretty regularly.
And I want to shout out Jaime Jaquez.
Oh, I thought you were going to shout out your boy.
Oh.
But Jaime Jaquez, big bounce back season, 100%. And then
I'm copium. I miss you, Davion Mitchell. You are so good at basketball. I have you on my fantasy team right now, and every time I look, you have 12 points and 11 assists.
And this is why you can't find a wife. Steals. You're way too in love.
I've already found Davion Mitchell.
That's what I'm saying. You're already too locked
and
in.
And Jamal Shedd.
Come on.
I have a type, man.
You do have a type.
I have a type, man.
You do have a type. But what was it that I sent you? Like, he's averaging 7.6 assists on...
Yeah, he has the best assist to turnover ratio in the NBA.
From point guards.
Yeah, from point guards, which is, first off, insane.
Insanity.
Secondly, I'm not like I'm pretty shocked that they've been able to pull off having a very efficient offense. They also have the biggest pace in the league, right? Like the fastest pace in the league.
Yeah.
And like, it looks like good basketball. Like, it looks fun. Andrew Wiggins has fit the system. Bam has been not efficient, but he's slowly ramping up to
and he's shooting threes, which should make you understand how fast they're going.
Yes.
Because the first shot is the best shot for them. So whatever shot they get it up.
Especially for Bam. Bam can't settle. Like, he's a bad decision maker. Like, he needs to just shoot it.
But when he's shooting, it's really good. It's like the exactly. 7 second Suns or whatever.
Yeah, that's so what I just said, man.
Sorry, man. Dang. When he's getting that shot, he's going. But I think they've been really entertaining, and I think that's good for the Heat.
And I think it's what they needed. And what we need right now is to say goodbye.
Say goodbye. And I wanted to do a little shout-out
Shout out Monty.
Shout out my best friend Monty. Had his season opener on Saturday. He plays for Tampa in Florida, D2 basketball, and he had a great game. He had a game today. My brother, you're going to kill it. I love you, brother. And yeah, I mean, I think we do
That's
need
it.
To say
Thank you
say
for
goodbye.
Listening to Death in the Midrange. We will be back next week. I think we're going to talk about bottom of the barrel teams. Yeah. But we'll keep it entertaining.
So no Wizard talk next week.
No Wizard talk. That's the best team in the league right now.
Mm. Enjoy the snow.
Enjoy the snow.
Have a great week.
Yes, enjoy the rest of this snowy, wintry Monday. All right. Bye, guys.
Peace out. Mrs. Jones.